This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Dustin Yard and you're listening to In the News, where you'll get your daily dose of all the major headlines from India and around the world. In today's podcast, we'll open with Reliance Industries overtaking British Petroleum to become the world's sixth largest oil company, followed by a report on how India plans to capitalize on the trade war between US and China. We then talk about BJP leader Vijay Jolly, who got himself thrown out of the Asia-Pacific summit happening in Cambodia, before moving on to the RSS's objections to content in the web series The Family Man. Lastly, we bring you everything Union Home Minister Amit Shah said regarding the Kashmir internet ban and NRC in the Rajya Sabha. To speak about all these topics, I have my colleagues Siddhesh Roth and Shraddha Sharma joining me on the show. Reliance Industries inches closer to the Rs 10 lakh crore mark in market capitalization and is one of the largest oil companies in the world. Well, Siddhesh, where does this place Reliance Industries among the top six global oil companies?
So Reliance Industries ended today's market trading day at around 1,448.50 rupees per share, and its total market cap as of 28 November stands at 9.8 lakh crore rupees. This was just a run-up to the first major event that took place yesterday, or on the 19th of November, when it was one of the first companies to touch the 9.5 lakh crore rupee market cap value. And at that point of time, it had rallied about 3.8% intraday. In dollar terms, when you look at this 9.5 lakh crore value, you see that Reliance stood at around $133.20 billion, and it was also way higher than BP's market cap of $103.22 billion. According to Bloomberg's Billionaire Index, Reliance Industries Chairman and Managing Director Mukesh Ambani's net worth currently stands at $58 billion. And this places him at the 12th position and makes him the richest person in Asia as a result of this market cap.
Well, Siddhesh, but what were the reasons for the rise in this market cap?
So various brokerages have attributed it to several developments. And Morgan Stanley had said that it kind of remained bullish on this stock because it had hopes of higher refinery margins from the industry's refinery business, a potential telecom tariff hike, which could help the telecom business, obviously, and its kickstarting of the gas productions, lower capex, and the ongoing total deleveraging of the company's debt of its balance sheets altogether. So these were the main hopes that Morgan Stanley had provided. Other brokerage houses also said that they were very positive, actually, on the retail business, and it has grown phenomenally, where it has registered like a sevenfold increase in revenue, a 14-fold increase in the profit in the last 6 years. The Reliance Jio has also become the largest operator, and it's signing up more than 10 million new customers each month. And looking at all these positive factors that are going good for the company, they see the stock to rally closer to the 10 lakh crore mark anytime soon, maybe. So that is why they're attributing this rally to Reliance Industries.
India is planning to offer 324 companies, including Tesla and GlaxoSmithKline, incentives to set up factories in the country. Well, Siddhesh, what are these incentives exactly?
Dustin, the government is proposing to provide these manufacturers in question land to set up factories, and also they're planning to give some kind of concessions or subsidies on power and water, and including road access. Media reports have attributed this to a draft of a document that's been prepared by the Department for Promotion of Industry and Internal Trade and Investment. Under this plan to address the land issue, the government will create a land bank for ready-to-move-in industrial clusters. It's also hoping to offer investment in location-based incentives. Since a lot of these are all these companies are foreign companies, they might also perhaps rationalize or relook at anti-dumping duties that could be levied on these companies if they plan to do business here. They've also proposed plugins for and incentives for like plug-in as in electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles, also providing more incentives on the fuel efficiency and the carbon taxation fronts. Other incentives for the electronics and telecom sector include like flexible employment, manufacturing related incentives that are linked to investments. These have also been put under consideration.
Well, Siddhesh, what are the other companies in these reports that India is expected to reach out to?
Other companies that the officials would likely reach out to, according to the media reports, include Eli Lilly and Company, South Korea's Hanwha Chemical Corporation, and Taiwan's Honhai Precision Industry Company. These are the several major companies out in the Southeast Asia belt that the officials would be interested in reaching out to.
Well, lastly, Siddhish, what's the reason behind the timings of these incentives?
Dustin, the whole point of all these incentives is to capitalize on the current US-China trade war. What is happening now is manufacturers who would normally look to China to carry out or place their manufacturing activities are now moving away from it and are seeking for alternatives because the US-China trade war is basically hurting their business in the process. And what is happening is they are moving to other Southeast Asian countries like Vietnam and Malaysia. And India also has significant potential, but like the media reports state, rigid land law acquisition rules and labor laws make it a little difficult for investors to set up base in India. Because what happens is when they look to acquire land, they end up into this long rigmarole of speaking to different plot owners, pooling the land plots together and then setting up their factories there. So that is one of the major deterrents, and as well as the labor laws. All in all, this is also to boost the larger picture growth targets that the current government has put in place. Prime Minister Narendra Modi had previously stated that India would seek to become a $5 trillion economy by 2025. So this is just one of the steps in the more larger plans towards that goal. And also to obviously boost the current slowdown in the economy is definitely on the cards as part of this investment plan.
Well, thanks for all your inputs there, Siddhish.
Thank you.
A BJP MP was recently thrown out of the second Asia-Pacific summit being held in Cambodia. Well, Shraddha, who is this MP and why was he forcefully escorted out of the summit?
So the BJP leader that we are talking about is Vijay Jolly. And he was attending the summit in Cambodia, as you rightly said, on Tuesday. He actually tried to disrupt the speech of one of the Pakistan National Assembly deputy speaker, Qasim Suri, and he was speaking on the Kashmir issue. And actually, the video has gone viral on social media where he was, you know, taken out by the security. And when Suri was seen talking about the Kashmir issue and accusing the Indian government basically of committing human rights violation in the valley, he got very angry. And Mr. Jolly stood up and objected to Suri's speech, saying that Kashmir issue is not something that we discuss on this platform. And it is just wrong. And then the security person came and grabbed Jolly and took him out of the conference hall. It was called Peace Palace, ironically. So, since the abrogation of JNK's special status in August, there has been a lot of discussion about it being an internal issue and Pakistan dragging it on international platforms. So basically, this was about that.
Home Minister Amit Shah commented on the Kashmir internet ban and NRC in the Rajya Sabha. Well, Shraddha, what is it that the Home Minister has said in his speech?
So basically, Amit Shah wanted to clarify government's stance on the entire Kashmir issue and NRC. So he said that normalcy has been restored in the valley. And since the opposition was demanding a response from the BJP on the detention of, you know, political leaders, because, you know, the former Chief Minister Omar Abdullah and Mehbooba Mufti continue to remain in preventive detention. So that was questioned by the opposition, to which Mr. Shah said that as far as internet services are concerned, the decision can be taken by the Jammu and Kashmir authorities. There are activities by Pakistan too in Kashmir region. So keeping security in mind, whenever the local authority deems it fit, a decision will be taken. And I quoted him on that. And moving on to what he said about NRC, basically he wanted to, you know, touch upon the idea that NRC is different from the Citizenship Amendment Bill. And the opposition was actually accusing the government of discrimination. And he, and I quote him again, he said that Hindu, Buddhist, Sikh, Jain, Christian, Parsi refugees should get citizenship, and that is why the Citizenship Amendment Bill is needed. So these refugees who are being discriminated on the basis of religion in Pakistan, Bangladesh or Afghanistan get Indian citizenship, unquote. So this was the stance of the current government and Home Minister Amit Shah in the Rajya Sabha.
Well, thanks for bringing us all those updates, Shraddha.
Thank you, Dustin, for having me. And now forward on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer is available on Android and the web.
That brings us to the end of this segment of In the News. If you have any queries or comments on the podcast, feel free to email us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views, and other updates, stay tuned to Money Control. Thanks for listening.